All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. August the 28th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you're at. It is Friday. Thought I would come upstairs and see if I can chat a bit, see what's happening. Just got done running. Feeling good, man. I feel freaking terrific. I have my aches and pains, but man, I've just really, you know, I've put my head down this year and decided I really want to try focus on running and diet. And it's honestly, it hasn't really been that extreme. Just really eating like normal and trying to exercise every day. And I've been enjoying it. I've been doing it. And I've been actually feeling a lot of results. I got up this morning and I was looking. I want to buy a windbreaker because I'm going to run this winter. It's on. I'm down. I've run in the winter before, many winters. And I used to have this sweet Eddie Bauer windbreaker. And I had this nice setup. It was like a, you know, a t-shirt, a quarter zip fleece, and a windbreaker. And maybe some cool Nike, you know, running pants. And that used to be perfect, man. That was in all temperatures, unless it was like, you know, 8 degrees or something, you know, really cold. That might not be quite enough, but I probably wouldn't run anyway in those temperatures. But it was always perfect. And then the Eddie Bauer windbreaker got too small. Right? It got too small, and I stopped using it. You know why? Because I stopped running. And so now I've been running. I feel my side. I feel smaller. My wife hugged me. She goes, "You're losing weight. Stop it." And she was probably kidding, just kidding, not kidding. But she told me, "You're losing weight." And I can tell I lose weight. I ran this morning. I'm feeling there's this moment where I start to feel more like a gazelle and not like a rhinoceros. And so I got up this morning. I went online. I was online looking for a windbreaker, a large windbreaker, not extra large, large. And then I was like, well, you could probably put the old windbreaker back on if it fits again, right? So anyway, point is, I just feel good. I'm super grateful that I'm alive and that you know, I feel good. I feel really good. Funny thing is, man, my wife called me the other day. She's like, I think something crawled under our porch and died. And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, there's a stench. And, you know, we live at the beach, but, you know, you go a few miles in from the beach and we live in the, you know, the country, farmland. This where we live, I don't think where we lived was a farm, but we're surrounded by farms. And, you know, every once in a while, certain times of the year, a smell will come across the land. Like, it's getting ready to, you know, they're gonna cut down the corn, they're going to turn the soil, and they're going to bring in manure and different things, different amendments, complements. And, you know, they'll start prepping the soil for the, whether it's a winter coverage or ready for next year, but some smells are about to start. And there is a stench in the air. It's pretty crazy. And my wife thought it was a dead person. She actually, you know, she watches dead, you know, murder shows. Yeah. Do I want to get into that case? No, I'm not sure. But, you know, anyway, she thinks it was a dead person. I came home last night. There's definitely a smell. To me, it smells like Milorganite, which is an organic. It's actually made out of human shit in Milwaukee. So it's Milwaukee organic matter, Milorganite. Back when I was in the landscape business, that was an amazing product. I put it on my lawn now, and it's awesome. It's a low nitrogen, not very volatile. But when it gets wet, it stinks. And that's what it smells like. But my neighbor's like, you know, he texts me this morning and he's like, what's that smell? He goes, you know, he lives up in Pennsylvania and he comes down on the weekends and he came down, I guess he came down last night. He's like, what's that smell? And I thought he made a joke and I go, maybe it's your cooking. And he's like, why did you go there? sticks. Grand illusion. Yeah, if your life feels like a... what did it say? Like, anyway, that's how my life was. Right? Always just a freaking mess. But yeah, that was, and I was, and then he's like, what'd you go there for? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were being funny. I don't know. The other day I was, I don't think I talked about this. I was spraying weeds at my dad's. And, you know, there's this stuff, it's called tracker dye. And you put it inside a sprayer. And when you spray things, it turns it blue so that you know what you've sprayed. You track it. And for some reason, this stuff spilled in the back of my car, in my new freaking Jeep. And it's blue. And whatever it gets on turns blue. The nice thing about it is that it doesn't, it stains, but it doesn't stain. It's not, like I could rinse it off and it rinses off. It'll stain your hands, but eventually it comes off. And so the other day I spilled it in the back of my freaking car. And so I took this thing out. I'm like, what the hell? It's everywhere. It was on one of this shirt. And so I'm trying to rinse it all out. And I, of course, I take it over to the drain, the street drain. And Jim, my neighbor, walks up. He's like, what sort of poison you putting down the drain? I'm like, it isn't poison, man. It's just track or die, bro. Chill. And he was kidding. But he said something about, it smells like something's dead or down in the drain. And I thought he was implying that when I rinsed that stuff off, I made it down the drain and that's what stink is. And so I said, no, maybe it's your cooking. He's like, what'd you go there for? I'm like, oh shit, I'm sorry. I thought we were joking around here. So anyway, I haven't been up very long. I've already made a couple mistakes, but it's all right. We'll work through it. So yeah, it is Friday. I thought it would come upstairs. I was watching this cool documentary last night. You know, we live in such a great time. Oh, I think we do. I don't know. You know, we might live in the worst time ever, but as far as technology and, you know, that kind of stuff, it may be what ruins us, probably, but the technology... Uh-oh, hold on. Holy Christmas. Excuse me. The technology that we have today is just incredible. And, you know, Elon Musk and these guys are making all these chips, big chip producers, and, you know, these big round disc chips and stuff. I don't know what they're called. We're not here for that. But the point is that, you know, they have all of this equipment and all of these men and this building and just to make these small little chips and to see what one of these chips look like, you have to go through, like, I don't know, two airlocks into a special suit, oxygen filled, you know, no contamination into these rooms, into these buildings, right? Which has got to be rough because I would think as an employee to constantly be wearing like a hazmat suit and, you know, it's probably got to get tough, but whatever. So, but the point is that, you know, you have to go through all of this shit because if one piece of dust, you know, it contaminates these chips, they're ruined. All ruined. I'm always wondering how many have been ruined. Right? Like what was the path that got us to the place where we're at today where they have realized that one speck of dust, one speck of anything ruins the whole chip. And now the links that they go to now to make sure that doesn't happen. And so, of course, me, you know, I'm all of a sudden, you know, it's sort of relating and reminding myself of recovery. You know, everything is about recovery in some sort of way, it seems, but, you know, I talked about the seventh step. It turns out, you know, the third, one, two, really one, three, seven. I mean, you know, obviously everything's important, but it seems like, you know, many were powerless over alcohol is clearly, their lives have become unmanageable is clearly important. And then came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, definitely important, right? And then to turn our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding. One, two, three, very important. But, you know, the seventh step is like, it's you know, you have to so the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. But the only requirement to find serenity is desire to clean up the seventh, sixth, and seventh step. It's to clean out the debris, the particles, the, you know, the contamination. And the funny part is that nobody sees a contamination. You know, if I walked into that building and I didn't have my special suit and special gloves and I just walked in and shut the door and didn't tell anybody, they would never know there was contamination in the building. I mean, they may have some sort of special sensors or stuff, but the point is no one would see it. It's like the stink that's going on right now outside of our house, you know. There may be a dead animal in the woods, but it's weird because I ran the road. There's one part of the road where it stinks. There's a place between the houses where the air's coming through that it stinks. But when I was in the other neighborhood, it didn't stink at all. So I could post on Facebook, what the fuck's up with this stink? And half the people would be like, what's he talking about? And maybe me and my neighbors, just real close to me, would understand. But most of us wouldn't understand. And that's the same thing with the seventh step, right? The sixth step, the character defects that I, you know, obviously, you want to know my character defects? Ask my parents. Ask my counselor, right? Ask, you know, anybody that was associated with me, because they could all tell you my character defects. If you asked me, I would be like, I smoke pot. I don't know. But the seventh step are the ones that that I know about. It's the ones... And I don't think you can really, I don't think I can, unless I'm working a program, unless I'm involved in the 12 steps of recovery, understand the sixth and seventh step. But since I do, and since I am, I do understand. And what I know today is, for me, the seventh step are all the things that people don't see. And the worst part about all of this is that sometimes I don't see them. I only find out about them when, unfortunately, they come up in situations that, you know, almost ruin your life. Like, you know, it always talks about that act of providence. And I've shared before, you know, I had the act of providence. You know, I got punched in the mouth. I got knocked down. I was bleeding. I got carried out of the bar and thrown into the street. Pretty humiliating. And then all of a sudden, the realization that I had a very badly split lip and that I was going to have to go to work and that I was drunk and that everything that everybody had said about me up to this point was right. And this is what I was waiting for. and here I am. And so what did I do? I went and hid at the hospital. Right? But it was an act of providence. It was a moment. I was so embarrassed, so ashamed, so willing to make a change that, you know, I said yes. But I think about these act of providences that have happened many, many times, and especially in recovery. And they're not, but the problem is that they're not character defects. They're not shortcomings that bother people. You know, I said to my neighbor, maybe it's your cooking. That's sarcasm. I shouldn't have said that. But I thought we were being funny. He's a normal guy. I can't, you know, I have to have sarcasm sometimes. They like, the normies like the sarcasm. And so I thought we were having fun. But he said, what'd you have to go there for? Small act of providence, right? A little bit of shame, a little bit of embarrassment. I was like, I don't know. It's early. I thought we were being funny. But, you know, I think back and how many acts of providence, how many moments of contamination, right? How many of the alarms have gone off that I've ignored? And, of course, the drinking one I didn't. And, of course, I can tell you from December 22nd, 2008, I have not had a drink of alcohol or a drug. Straight up. And that's what I'm here for. Now, there's these side paths, right? Well, maybe you want to dress better, right? Maybe you want to, you know, take better care of yourself. Maybe you want to, you know, be accountable for your actions and act a little better. I don't know. Whatever it is, these other character defects. You know, I was watching a show the other night. It was a cop show, and this guy rear-ended this young girl. And he was trying to tell her, don't call the police, don't call, you know, I don't have insurance, I'll pay you cash. And the cop just happened to see it. He walks up and starts, you know, asking what's going on. And the guy's like, hey, we got this figured out. We you don't need to be here. And the guy's like, well, I'm here. Clearly there was an accident. And this freaking guy flipped out. I mean, flipped out. No control of his actions. No, zero control of his emotions. I think that is one of the biggest character defects that we can fix, is to control our emotions and our behavior. And accountability, because, I mean, there's things I used to do that I didn't even think were wrong until someone pointed them out. But I think of all of these little acts of providence. I remember, and I've, you know, shared about it, calling my buddy Scott a chatty Cathy, and he told me that hurt my feelings. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. I really fucked up. And at that time, you know, a year into recovery, I'm super sensitive, 100% over emotional. And I was just destroyed that he said that, because I really, I would like to tell you that I cared about our friendship, but really, he was a small business owner. He owned a hotel. He was way cooler than anybody that I had known, way more successful than anybody that I had known. And so I cherished that friendship, not because the quality of it, but what it looked like on the outside to me, for me, right? People would associate me with him and be like, oh, this guy's a good guy. Sick, I know. But that's what was important. So when he said, that hurt my feelings, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Right? I felt terrible. Right. But that was an act of providence, you know. Yeah, of course I feel terrible. Did he need to be the guy to tell me? No, but he did, and it was helpful. I'll never forget it. I've mentioned it 100 times in this podcast. Or with my buddy Matt, when I went over there, and he was like, can you come over? I need to talk. And I was like, oh, this guy knows I'm knowledgeable. And he starts talking, and I start giving him answers, and he goes, I didn't have you come over here to talk. I had you come over here to listen. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, our special friendship. No, nope, he was just a pillar in the community, and I wanted to be associated with that. And so I'm sure in my mind I was like, this guy's mean. But really, he was doing me a favor. He was explaining to me that, you know, everything isn't about me. And from that moment, I will never forget that, right? I'm like, if someone's talking to me, anytime I have a conversation, I immediately try to determine, is this a listening conversation or is there going to be feedback for me? Because I don't want to have that repeat. I just want to say, you know, thoughts and prayers to all of the people in Nepal. You know, my buddy Matt was a big fan of Nepal. He had family in Nepal. He adopted some kids that he was raising in Nepal. And, of course, I don't know how anybody would know this, but they had that catastrophe, that avalanche and flood. I mean, devastating. And that's where my sponsor, Matt, died, in Nepal. And his anniversary, 10-year anniversary of his death, was just a few days ago. And somebody told me. I seem to have forgotten when he died. I know it was in August, but I feel like it's around the 18th. But I don't know. I just, for some reason, that thing just doesn't, I'm not marking it for some reason. And I haven't paid attention, and I don't know why. But yeah, thoughts and prayers, man. What a terrible, terrible, catastrophe. A bunch of Americans were there. I mean, just ridiculous amount of powerful, you know, that water and avalanche and all that was. So, my God, really sad. A lot of sad news lately, you know. Of course, Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton reminds me of my mom. My mom was a big Dolly Parton fan. My mom was 83 when she died, and that was in 2020, I don't know, but she said my mom was probably 86 and Dolly Parton died at 80. But my mom was in that generation. They all loved Dolly Parton. 9 to 5. My mom worked at 9 to 5. And, yeah. So, you know, thoughts and prayers to Dolly. I was telling somebody, I remember seeing that, going to the movies and seeing Dolly Parton's 9 to 5. I mean, I saw all of, you know, back in those days, we saw every movie. There wasn't a movie we didn't see. But I always thought she always looked old, even in that movie. And that had to be in the late 70s, early 80s. And she always looked like she was in her 70s. And I'm like, I think this lady spent her whole career looking old. And the older she got, the younger she started looking. It was really pretty funny. But she was a great lady. And I love that the president asked the country to put our flags at half staff, which I did. She deserves it. She's an icon. So, but you know, round that back up to where we were, where I started. You know, the contamination, and it is just that. It is, and I seem to have talked about the seventh step quite a bit lately, and I don't mean to, but it's so key. The worst part about it, though, it takes time. It evolves. We learn it contaminated bit by contaminated bit. We seal up the room a little bit more, a little bit more. I don't think, you know, I could ever seal the room up completely. Completely. But I have that freaking, I have all those cracks taped. And I'm trying not to let any contamination in, and I'm really trying to focus on... But, you know, like I said before, I'm only working on the shit that's really obvious. The obvious shit, the big icebergs. I'm out there spray painting X's on the big icebergs, but you still, you know, it's the little ones. It's those little bitty things are the ones that end up sinking the freaking ship. And but we don't usually address them. I don't usually address them until the pain starts. And I guess we sometimes just live with little icebergs. The big ones are the ones that are hard to live with, right? But I do say it takes time. And, you know, I used to think one day at a time meant, you know, just don't drink one day at a time. And absolutely that is what it means. But it also means, you know, you may feel one way about the six and seven step today, and then you may feel completely different about the six and seven step tomorrow. You may have an idea of what the third step is today, and tomorrow you may not have any clue, and then by Saturday you've got it all figured out again. You know, it's not like, you know, we paint a wall and that wall's done. You know, it's like you paint it and you never know what the paint's going to look like the next day. And so, you know, I just try to stay in the day. You know, I was at the meeting on Wednesday and a guy was sharing. And I've been here, you know, he's probably got 3 or 4 years, and I remember saying these exact words, you know, I have to be here. I have to be here. I'm different. I'm terrible. I gotta be here. For your sake, for the planet's safety, I gotta be here. And yeah, sure. And the guy said that, and after the meeting, I went up to him and I said, you get to be here. He goes, what do you mean? I said, you said you have to be here. And I said, you get to be here. No, I have to. I said, yeah, I get you. But, you know, you get to be here. This is because as soon as you have to, self comes in, right? The only thing that has to do anything is self. Gets to do this is a humble choice. And anything involves self has the opportunity to have fear and worry. And when fear and worry show up, you are not holding the hand. I'm not holding the hand of God. I am holding the hand of self. Small bits of contamination. You know, my buddy Matt used to say, I get to do this. I get to be here. And I was like, wow. Mind blown. And it's very true. Yeah, is it highly recommended that I should attend a program, especially AA, for my alcohol problem? Absolutely. But, you know, this is a choice I have to make every day, and I get to be here. And, you know, of course, it was about, you know, service work and, you know, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, our job now is to be there for the next alcoholic. I don't think it says job. What does it say? Because job would seem like a have to. let's see, step 9. Where are we at? Step 12. It said, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message. We tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. That's right. We tried. We don't have to. We try. And but he was like, no, I got to be here. And I was like, all right. But, you know, that is the evolution, I think. You know, at some point, you know, the more I have to be here, the more I'm sort of taking away from the reason that I'm here at all. And all right, so let's, what are we doing? Let me, I got to go to work. It is Friday. Very excited. Okay, let's see. Daily reflection. Dun, dun, dun. All right, August 28th. Lightening the burden. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. The dark past is the key to life and the happiness of others. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 124. Since I have been sober, I have been healed of many pains. Deceiving my partner, deserting my best friend, and spoiling my mother's hopes for my life. In each case, someone in the program told me of a similar problem, and I was able to share that happened to me. When my story was told, both of us got up with lighter hearts. All right, let me read that again. I'm sorry. That just, since I have been sober, I have been healed of many pains. Deceiving my partner and deserting my best friend and spoiling my mother's hopes for my life. In each case, someone in the program told me a similar problem, and I was able to share that what happened to me. When my story was told, both of us got up with a lighter heart. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us. The dark past is the key to life and happiness for others. Yeah. Yeah, read that. I don't know. I have no explanation, but yeah, anyway, so I appreciate you letting me share. I hope everyone's having a great day. I hope everyone's, you know, getting ready for the fall, and hope everything's going well. I appreciate it. Talk to you later. Bye.